Good to see everyone here this morning. Like Brian said, what a nice day out there. I can't believe it's October and it's 80 degrees, but we'll take it, I guess. Don't have to shovel it. That's the way I look at it. You don't have to shovel it. Well, it's been another week. And I don't have to tell you what's all been going on in this past week. Because if you have internet, TV, newspaper, whatever the case may be, you're reading it for yourself. And you're hearing about this and that and stuff. And as I started to prepare the sermon that I wanted to do today, I want to piggyback off a little bit of Mark's sermon from last week. And Mark talked about the kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. And that is from Psalm 22, verse number 28. And that was Mark's sermon last week. And like I said, I'm just kind of adding to that or building onto that and stuff. Because, like I said, I don't have to tell you what we have to look at, deal with on a weekly basis. But definitely things have happened from last Sunday, from Mark's sermon, to this Sunday, Dennis's sermon. On also a local level, a state level, a national level, whatever the case may be, it has all happened. But they say that when two people disagree, that one of them may say, well, everyone has a right to their own opinion. And I've heard when I was a kid the old cliche that, you know, opinion are like noses. You know, everybody's got one. I remember that one ever since I was a kid. My dad told me that. But saying that everyone has a right to their own opinions, it is a statement saying that, well, I disagree with you, but that is okay. Your thoughts are just as good as mine when we say something like that. And in some sense, this may be right. But also, it may be equally wrong. And the reason it may be equally wrong, it's a mistake to apply this to God's word. I have my opinion, God, you have your opinion. And that leads me into the title of today's sermon, Do We Have a Right to Our Opinions? You know, God is not limited like man. We must not, emphasize the word must, not put God on the same level as man. We must not do that. Let's go to the first scripture this morning, the sheet Dan handed out. And this is coming from the book of Isaiah. And it's going to be chapter 29, Isaiah 29, and starting at verse number 15. And it reads here, that woe to those who deeply hide their plans from the Lord and whose deeds are done in a dark place. And they say, who sees us? Or who knows us? You turn things around. Shall the potter be considered as equal with the clay? And what is made would say to its maker, he did not make me. Or what is formed, say to him who formed it, he has no understanding. You know, the word of God, God's words, are not left to man to interpret. Because all scripture comes from the word of God. Let's go now to 2 Timothy. And talks more about this coming from the word of God. We're at 2 Timothy, and this is chapter 3, beginning at verse number 16. It reads here that all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for the teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. All scripture comes from the mouth of God. And it was revealed to us by the Spirit of God through the apostles, who gave us the very words of God. Let's go now to 1 Corinthians and see what it says there. 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2, and excuse me, starting at verse number 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things he also speaks, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. You know, and I shouldn't have to tell anybody this, because I think we all know it, but it is better to trust God than to trust man. And I think this last week definitely it proved it to me. I got so tired of seeing the same thing over and over, and I'm not leaning one way or the other. I'm just got tired of seeing that. So I just turned my trust to God instead of listening to man. You know, this book that I have here in front of me called the Bible, it claims to be truth. It claims to be truth. Because it says God's word is truth. Let's go to John 17. John 17 and verse number 17. And it says it right there. John 17:17, it says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Because the people, those of the truth, they will listen to Jesus Christ. They listen to Jesus. And by staying with Jesus, we abide in the truth, each and every one of us. Still staying in the book of John, though. This time, let's go back to chapter number 8. We'll go to John, chapter 8. Beginning at verse number 31. This should be a familiar reading for each and every one of us, because it says, so Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Powerful words right there. You know, some people have said that the Bible is a collection of clever fables. I've heard people say that. How do you know this is true? How do you know it's not all made up? I'm here to tell you that the Bible is not a collection of clever fables. Because some people speak of the creation myth as if it didn't really happen, as the Bible teaches. But let me tell you that the Bible is not a collection of Jewish fables. Because Paul, the Apostle Paul, he stated that his words came from God. They just didn't make them up. The words came from God. What's it say in Galatians? Let's go to Galatians in chapter 1. This is Galatians 1. I'm starting at verse number 11. It says, because this is where Paul is defending his ministry. That's what we're talking about here. Galatians 1, beginning at verse number 11, it says, for I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. You just didn't make it up. It was a revelation from Jesus Christ. The apostles, in the day of old, they just refused to alter their words. They just refused to do that because what they were preaching, what they were teaching, it was the truth. They weren't going to change it just to satisfy the listeners, to satisfy the itching ears that it's been called. They refused to do it because what they were talking about, what they were preaching, it was the truth. Let's go to 2 Corinthians this time. Chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 1. It says, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. They weren't going to preach fables. They were going to preach the word of God, the true word of God. But a question, can you imagine what it would have been like if the apostles would have been teaching fables? I don't know if anybody's ever thought about that. Instead of the true word of God, they'd have taught the fables and pacified the people that they were talking to, those with the itching ears, as it's been called. But they did not do that. Because fables, you know, fables are subject to alterations. They can be subject to alterations and also interpretations. But the Word of God is not a collection of fables. You know, another thing about this book, the Bible, it was not founded on the authority of men. It was not founded on the authority of men. Let's go to 2 Peter. To read more about that, let's go to 2 Peter, and this is chapter 1 and verse number 17. 2 reads here, for when he received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as this was made to him, that majestic glory. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. That was part of our scripture reading this morning. Because, folks, it was God who declared Jesus as the one to listen to. This is my Son. This is the guy you need to listen to. And to learn a little bit more about that, let's go to Matthew chapter 17 and see what it says there. Matthew 17, I'm going to start at verse number 4. It reads here, and this is Peter talking to Jesus. He says, Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three tabernacles here, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And while he was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud said, and this just amazes my little pea brain, this is my Son, my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. You know, I stopped when I was preparing this sermon. I had to just kind of stop for a while. And you could imagine just, you know, Peter talking to Jesus about building the tabernacles, and all of a sudden this voice, boom. I don't even know what to compare that with this day and age. I have absolutely no idea, but just the idea of it and reading about it here, it just kind of got me for a while and stuff. But anyway, moving on, It was God who declared that Jesus is the one to listen to. And God has spoken to us through his Son. Let's go now to Hebrews 1, beginning at verse number 1, and it says a little bit more about it right here, that God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. It is Jesus who holds all authority. And I remember what Mark said last week. Jesus is the one that's in charge. It's Jesus who holds all authority. God's in charge. We learn that on Wednesday nights too, because we'll be doing our Bible study and all of a sudden it gets brought up, who's in charge? Mark throws out the question. God's in charge. You know, the Holy Spirit, he took Jesus' words and he gave them to the apostles. What's it say in John 16? John 16, beginning at verse number 12. John 16, verse number 12, it starts reading, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it of you, to you. He had the information, he gave it to man, disclosed it to us. We then believe Christ through their words that the apostles taught and has been brought forward throughout the centuries and stuff. It was received as the word of God. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. And this is chapter 2 and verse number 13. It was received as the word of God. Chapter 2, verse number 13, it reads, for this reason we also constantly thank God, for when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. If you believe it, you're good. Another thing about man versus God, man is subject to change his mind. We all know that. I've changed my mind more than once on different things. Man is subject to change his mind. But what about God? God is unchanging, plain and simple. You know, also the works of man are subject to alterations and interpretations as different men come on the scene. And I think all of us can relate to a story or a situation where it used to be like this, but we got a new person in charge, and now it's like this. And I don't care what it is. It can be political, it can be where you work, it can be whatever. But this is the way it used to be. We got a new sheriff in town, as they say. And it changes. But as different men come on the scene, it can change. But you know what? The Bible comes from God. That Bible, this book right here, it's unchanging. And we, I don't care how many letters you have behind your name, PhD, MD, whatever the case may be, we have no authority to alter it. We keep it the same. It should be the same year after year after year. If it's good enough for them back then, it's good enough for me today. That's the way I just look at it. We have no authority to alter the pipe. Because what it boils down to, folks, is that man's thoughts does not matter. You can get worked up about it, you can be concerned about it. When the chips fall, you know where you're supposed to be. You know, Jesus once asked a question. Let's see what that question was, because that's in Matthew 16. In Matthew 16, he started right there in verse number 13. And this is Peter's confession of Christ. It reads, "And when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, 'Who do people say that the Son of Man is?' And they said, 'Some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets.' He said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' And Simon Peter answered, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus said to him, 'Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven.'" You know, it didn't matter what the other people thought during this conversation. It did not matter. The only important thing was that the one that comes from the Father, the only important answer was the one to come from the Father. You know, if there's a contest, there's a contest between God and man, God is always true. God is always true. Romans chapter 3, verse number 4. Romans 3 and verse number 4. Reads here that, "May it never be. Rather, let God be found true, through every man be found a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified in your words and prevail when you are judged." That belief that we keep talking about, that belief comes from hearing the words of God. And without faith, it is impossible to be saved. What's it say in Hebrews? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Hebrews 11, beginning at verse number 6. And it reads it right here. Because it says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." Do you believe that home in heaven is going to be there for you? You know, when we accept Jesus' testimony, it attests that God is true for every one of us. John 3. We're going to go to John 3, beginning at verse number 33. It says, "He who has received his testimony has set his seal to this, that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the word of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and given all things into his hand. He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. You know, folks, we just must believe the witness of God. Because when we believe that, we know the truth. And the last scripture reading for this morning will be coming from 1 John 5. 1 John 5, verses 19 and 20, where it reads that we know that we are of God, and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And we should know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So I hope this morning you take some of this that we've talked about here and apply it to your daily lives. And it's just, don't get overwhelmed with the news media or what's happening in the world. You know who you have to be true to. And we've talked this about every Sunday, and we never are going to stop a service without offering this invitation. That if there's someone in the audience that is not a Christian, would like to become one, we have everything ready for you. We can do that. And we've talked about it over the years, about the things that you must do, and you need to hear Jesus. And you need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And if you have sins in your life, you need to repent of those sins. You need to confess Jesus. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Be baptized, fully immersed in water, wash away those sins. Because when you come up out of that water, you're a brand new individual. What can take away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And as I always say, this just doesn't happen on Wednesday nights or Sundays. You need to be faithful always. Always. 24/7, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. So, if there's anybody in our audience who would like to become a Christian, we have everything prepared here for you. Or you've been having some struggles in your life, and you just, you know, need the prayers of the fellow Christian brothers and sisters, we're here for you. So if we can help you in any way, we ask that you please come forward as we sing the song of invitation.